Well, Chandler, we are gathered here today for a deep dive on a couple that for some reason has really captured the imagination of Americans across the country. A couple that I would say a few years ago, barely anyone knew anything about these people.
Let me just tell you that people still do not know who this couple is. In fact, I sent a screenshot of the podcast we're about to talk about to a group of friends, and they were like, who are those people? And I was like, remember, they're the newscasters who left their families or their spouses for each other. And they were like, huh? And then I made Ben listen to it, and Ben was like, who are these people? Anyway, nobody knows who they are still. And I think even their 5 seconds of fame is like rapidly diminishing and fading.
You're right. I don't feel like many people know exactly who they are, but I feel like their affair and the whole GMA Good Morning America drama really has captured the headlines, and they continue to be in Page Six, in TMZ. And I will say I'm very interested.
I will say that after listening to this episode that we're going to talk about, I am also now fully invested, fully interested, and will be following along.
So let's back up for everyone who is new to TJ Holmes, new to Amy Roback. This is, we are doing a deep dive on TJ Holmes and Amy Roback and their affair, which led to their firing on Good Morning America and the inception of their podcast, TJ and Amy, and all the drama that really was left in their wake. So TJ Holmes, Chandler, he's 46 years old today. He is a TV journalist. He rose to fame as a CNN correspondent, starting his career in 2006 with CNN. And he joined ABC News in September 2014.
Lauren, before we get any further into the life of TJ Holmes, I need to know, how attracted are you to this man?
A 2 out of 10.
Oh, really? I think he's so hot. I mean, after hearing his voice more and more on the podcast, that attraction has lessened, but I think he's pretty hot.
See, it's such an interesting observation to bring up, and I think leads me to one of my most devastating parts of this whole deep dive, which is how hot of a couple Andrew Hsu and Amy Roback used to be.
Right,
like,
right.
All-American, gorgeous. They look like they should be doing like older adult modeling. Okay. Mm-hmm. They just are such a stunning couple. And I feel like TJ Holmes is an attractive guy, but the coupling with Amy Roback, it just doesn't slap the same.
Okay. All right.
Do you disagree?
I think they're cute together. I think they're definitely cute together. I mean, I think her and Andrew Hsu, who I recently learned was her ex-husband or is her ex-husband, they looked great together. But TJ's pretty hot to me. Well, I mean, you got to work side by side him.
I think that I have had the displeasure of listening to him on his podcast for far too many hours while preparing for this deep dive. And so that is probably impacting my judgment. Let's rewind, Chandler, though, because we need to get into the bio of TJ Holmes, the man that is just, you know, making your heart a flutter this morning. So TJ shares 2 children, daughter Brianna and son Jaden, with his ex-wife Amy Ferson, whom he divorced in 2007, okay? In November 2010, he married attorney Marilee Feibig, and the duo welcomed their daughter Sabine in January 2013. For all intents and purposes, TJ Holmes has had 2 marriages, 3 children, seems like a normal-ish guy. You are going to learn throughout this deep dive that could not be further from the truth. But
really?
Before we get there, yes, Chandler, let's dig into Amy Roback. So Amy Roback is 4 years his senior. She's 50, and she is most famous for her contributions to ABC News. So she's a TV journalist and correspondent on ABC News. Amy married Tim McIntosh, a former Major League Baseball player, in 1996, later welcoming daughters Ava and Annalise. There are unsubstantiated reports that Amy had an emotional affair near the end of her marriage with McIntosh when they were living in separate locations due to work. Okay. And I think that, you know, we really want to examine relationship histories of both these people and see if we see any patterns emerge across their history and obviously where they are today. Okay.
I love that you are taking us through this deep dive and the way that you are just critically, you know, analyzing their lives as really a study. It's like I'm looking at cave drawings on the wall about TJ and Amy and looking for symbols and meanings and patterns. And I love it. I'm so excited for it.
let me lead you down this labyrinth, Chandler, where it's true. We're going to be looking for clues. We're going to be looking for smoke signals, scents, okay? Anything that can hopefully allow us to distinguish how to get to the center of this maze, at which we'll find the truth about TJ and Amy, okay?
Okay, great.
Great. So this is interesting. She divorces McIntosh in 2008, and then she moves in with Andrew Hsu, who starred in Melrose Place, before embarking on a short-lived career in professional soccer. And he co-founded an internet media company, Cafe Media. So he's had his own successes, you know, hot guy, obviously. But it's interesting that she marries Andrew in 2010. That's a pretty quick turnaround from her marriage to McIntosh.
And just to clarify, her two daughters are with McIntosh, or they're with Andrew?
The two daughters are with McIntosh. Yes.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, that's a fast turnaround. But when you know, you know.
What it says on the official record is that they met at a party in 2009 and were engaged only 5 months later. They tied the knot very quickly, 3 months after that. And then they went on to raise a blended family with three children. Okay, Amy and Andrew affectionately called their brood the Shubakians. Do you get it? Amy Roback, Andrew Hsu, raising the Shubakians.
It's so like yours, mine, and ours. Mm-hmm. Cute.
Exactly. Cute. So this was kind of their brand, was the Brady Bunch, you know, raising this blended family together. They even, Chandler, wrote a children's book called Better Together about a blended family. Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. Heartwarming. We'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, it's important, I think, for every episode to have moments of warmth and the moments of despair. So I hope everyone enjoyed The Beauty While It Lasted.
I'm not going to read my children a book about blended families by two divorced people. Absolutely not. I won't do that.
Other than the children's book that Amy is really known for, Amy is really known for a hot mic moment she had on ABC. This is when Amy Roback came to my attention, and I was really, I think, swept away by her very symmetrical and angular and pretty features. I think Amy Roback is very beautiful.
This is typically what you're struck by also.
It's really, I just dwell on people's looks. Although you're the one who wanted to talk immediately about how turned on you are by TJ Holmes. So
that's true. Point taken.
Amy Roback, she had this moment on ABC News where, and this was years before all the Jeffrey Epstein stuff came out, she has this moment where she talks about how they have a story on Jeffrey Epstein. They have everything. They have the Clintons. I guess they had everything. They had an interview with Virginia Roberts, the first interview with Virginia Roberts. They had this major story, and the palace, Kensington Palace, shut it down because they basically threatened you'll have no access to Kate and William if this story gets exposed. So, of course, the palace protecting Andrew for
So does you know, she say all this? Deeds.
So she says all this on camera.
I want receipts, timelines, screenshots.
Fucking everything today, everyone. You're welcome. Okay.
This video surfaces from Project Veritas in which ABC anchor Amy Roback says that ABC, quote, quashed her exclusive with Epstein accuser Virginia Giuffre, who said that she was forced to have sex with Prince Andrew when she was 17. Fox News is not able to independently verify this following video.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. Do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. Because do you want to? He made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment.
They cut to commercial, and then she was talking to the person she was interviewing, or what happened? How did this happen?
You know, I don't have any information on when exactly it happened, but it ostensibly it happened, yes, when she thought she was off air, but, you know, she's in front of the cameras.
I mean, because she says everything. That's why I wanted to hear it, because, I mean, she says everything. Another question for you, or maybe really a comment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just funny because And I don't necessarily like, I can understand ABC a little bit in this way, but it's just funny because the way that they were like, no, we're not putting the story on air because otherwise we won't get that exclusive cooking video with Kate Middleton. It's not like we get any super juicy interviews with Kate and William or anything. It's not like any of their content is actually that riveting, but of course, just access to them is something that people want.
I mean, I think it just goes so deeper than just access to like little segments with Kate and William. I mean, how often are Kate and William on ABC News? Virtually never. I think more it's probably the CEO of ABC has probably been to Epstein's apartment
or someone
of his friends.
Yeah.
So it's more like the people in power are saying, no, we're not going to talk about
totally.
This. Okay. But let's get back to the matter at hand. So another fact about Amy is she was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer after undergoing an on-air mammogram in October 2013 on Good Morning America. She had a double mastectomy and went through 8 rounds of chemotherapy. Her final round of treatment was completed in April 2014. Okay. So some background on Amy and TJ. Here is the timeline, I think, and where this all really picks up. So in September 26, 2014, TJ begins his career at ABC News, okay? And he's hired as an anchor and a reporter. And he becomes fast friends with Amy, as she would later tell people. Now, this is 2024. This was 10 years ago, okay? And they become good friends. They go on double dates with their spouses, okay? Amy's children watch TJ's children. All is hunky-dory for all intents and purposes. Mm. But you know what is not all cool as a cucumber, Chandler? The fact that TJ is fucking a 24-year-old. So,
oh my gosh.
TJ has a months-long affair with a 24-year-old script coordinator, Jasmine Petaway, the Daily Mail exclusively reported. She apparently looked up to the 37-year-old then journalist as a mentor, okay? So he was 37, she was 24, and this is what a source said. It was Jasmine's first real job in television, and it was a big deal for her. She was looking for a mentor, and she reached out to several people. TJ was someone who was responsive, but he absolutely abused that position of trust. TJ was someone who would grab drinks, and he and Jasmine started doing that. You must remember he was his correspondent at the time, and he's taking the time to speak with her about work or whatever. I don't know how long that had been going on before it turned sexual, but I do know that the first time they did it was in his office, and he was about to go on air in a couple hours.
Oh my gosh.
They had sex, and I know she was confused afterwards as to what it meant. That kind of, did that just really happen feeling? I mean, that's pretty risky behavior on his part. And the source says that it was a pattern of incredibly reckless conduct on TJ's part. On one occasion, the source said the pair were having drinks together when he got handsy in a very public place and way.
You know, Lauren, I think that men and women in the workplace are in difficult positions because there are a lot of gross men out there who are looking to take advantage of their position of power. And I'm making sweeping generalizations because they're kind of true. But yes, I'm making generalizations. I, you know, as someone who's been in the corporate workforce, I have at times felt a little bit uncomfortable to be alone with male mentors. And it's not always because something creepy has occurred. It's just that it's not necessarily the norm because you kind of have to be on guard. And you, I think as a woman, you're not always sure that the intentions are pure, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think so much of it and like so many of the reasons why women can struggle to climb the career ladder as fast as men is because they're not just like grandfathered into the bro club, to the friend club,
exactly.
Right? They're not just invited to, it's just not natural for women to hang out with male colleagues in the same way that it is for like the junior male colleague to go golf with the older male colleagues, to just be, to have a convivial, purely platonic relationship. Yeah, I think that that's a big reason why it can be so much harder for women professionally than men.
I also just want to be fair in the thing. I think it can be also difficult for men, good men in positions of power, because they don't want people to get the wrong idea, and they
completely.
Don't, you know, like it's just it's a tricky dynamic.
And I think bringing it back to this woman's experience, to Jasmine's experience, you know, imagine you're so young, you're 24, you're trying to, you're like, I feel like it's honestly doing what Sheryl Sandberg, what the lean in mentality tells you to do, which is to get mentors, to really work hard, to network, to do all this stuff. And you put yourself out there for a mentor and he ultimately wants to have sex with you. I mean, it just would be so disheartening and discouraging. And just, I feel like you could become so jaded after that.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. And you haven't watched The Morning Show, have you?
Mm-mm.
I like it. It's pretty good. I especially like the first season. But I think basically, I think like the industry that they're in is just, it's very long hours. It's a lot of time together. It's a lot of just like, your job is your life. You know, you like you spend the same time with the same people. And I just think that that can sometimes be a breeding ground for things like this to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's exactly what plays out, Chandler, is this was a breeding ground. And this happened multiple times, even before Amy. So with this one with Jasmine, the source continues to say, TJ just didn't seem to care. He knew he was wearing his ring. He has a wife. He has a relatively high profile job, but he wasn't acting like he was concerned about either of those things at the time. So Jasmine and TJ's sexual relationship continued for several months, and including him visiting her at her apartment before apparently it fizzled out. So 2 years later in 2016, that's when TJ has his next in-office affair, okay? And we don't know if Marilee found out about Jasmine, but Marilee did find out about this next affair, which lasted for 4 years, okay?
My other question is, does Amy know about these?
Well, yes, she definitely knows about this affair because apparently Amy was both of their confidants in the affair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. So TJ began an affair with Natasha Singh, a married Good Morning America producer, per Page Six. She fell in love with him. He had the key to her apartment, an insider told Page Six, and the affair went on for over 3 years until 2020. The relationship caused the end of Natasha's marriage to movie producer Garrett Brereton, 43, whose credits include Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, so a successful movie producer. This affair devastates her marriage. They get divorced, but TJ managed to somehow salvage his relationship with his wife, Marilee. So this is what a commenter on Reddit said about kind of the timeline of all of this. So this comment says, 2020 was the year he ended his affair with Natasha in order to work things out with his wife. So I guess this means that after Natasha imploded her marriage and divorced her husband, homewrecker TJ came running back to his wife and convinced her to forgive him and to take him back. The audacity to cheat on someone, convince them to forgive you, swear you'll never do it again, only to go right back and do it again the second the person starts trusting you again and believing your lies is insane. And that's exactly what happened. So he was discovered with Natasha, and then he immediately gets with Amy while the wife takes him back.
Someone needs to start a GoFundMe for Marilee. I'd like her to go on several luxury vacations a year. I'd like her to have the best of the best therapists. And I would be surprised if she didn't know about previous, you know, philanderers. I mean, these are only the ones that we know that, you know, rose to the Daily Mail or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, exactly. These are like the only ones that have hit the interwebs. It's tricky. And this is kind of what I really feel about TJ. I think TJ is a serial philanderer, womanizer, and I think he's extremely charismatic. And I think that he is the type where he's able to convince his wife that he has changed his ways. The highs are probably so high with him, the lows super low, obviously. He has that like charisma to reel women in because he reels in the 24-year-old, Natasha, Amy, keeps his wife throughout these affairs.
I'm really excited to get into Things Ain't Right and that specific episode that I listened to because
it reveals
history that we're learning about. Yeah, it reveals a lot. And I already was finding like Amy's concerns to be very valid, but they just further validate
her concerns. Him. Exactly. Okay, Chandler. So the timeline of him getting with Amy, it overlaps with his relationship with Natasha. So I guess he was unfaithful, not only to his wife, but also to Natasha. Because in 2017, okay, 1 year after the affair starts with Natasha, rumors of an affair between TJ and Amy begin. The chatter was so pervasive that even Good Morning America star Robin Roberts pulled them aside and basically said, like, you need to stop. Like, you need to calm down. Like, this is getting ridiculous. And I guess TJ went to executives and tried to get ahead of it. And he said, no, this is not happening. Amy also, apparently at the time, said, he's like my brother. We can finish each other's sentences. We get along so well. It's so wonderful to have that trust. You don't always have that on set. But I know no matter what I do or say, he's got my back and vice versa. And that's everything. So they're... story to everyone was, no, we're just super tight. We're super loyal.
We're just like brother and sister.
We're just like bro and sis. And Andrew Hsu, he was buying what Amy was selling because he purchased domain names for Amy and TJ together, like amyandtj.com. Yes.
Stop.
On the off chance that they would start a business someday together. Like, yes.
Wow.
I clearly had no idea what was coming.
I wonder if he's holding that domain name hostage.
I know. It's a great question. I hope he is. So fast forward to 2019, and TJ ends his affair with the producer, Natasha, after Merrily finds emails between the two of them. And he tries to reconcile his marriage throughout the pandemic with Merrily. Amy, however, remains friends with Natasha, and that really upset Merrily. Because if you remember, Amy is good friends with Merrily, right? They went on couple dates. Amy's kids watched TJ's kids. And it frustrated Merrily because she would see photos of Amy and Natasha on Instagram. And she didn't understand how their friends and her husband's co-host would remain friends with the woman who is trying to break up their marriage.
I hate these people. Not Merrily, but I hate these people.
I need to talk to you about a stunning experience I had. I got a massage yesterday and I took an early bird gummy an hour before my massage. 30 minutes into my massage, I'm starting to nod off. I never nap. I never fall asleep during massages. I was so relaxed and I was getting concerned. I'm like, why am I falling asleep? And then I remembered it was the early bird.
Like, oh, yeah.
I can't even describe to you guys how good an early bird gummy plus massage is. It already makes you feel so like warm and melty and gooey. And then to be getting a massage, it's a peak experience.
No, that sounds peak. I need to try that immediately. I cannot say enough good things about early bird. It is something I never want to run out of. Mm-hmm. I love knowing that if I need to get a good night's sleep, I've got it. And if I just want to kind of take the edge off while I watch a show or, you know, just want to scroll on Reels, it's there for me.
You guys, the great thing about Early Bird gummies is that they are a recreational hemp product and contain 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy.
So everyone go to earlybirdcbd.com and use the code popapologist20 for 20% off.
earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off.
Lauren, I got this text from my friend last night and she said, yo, what's the protein powder you guys peddle on your pod? Is it actually good?
Okay, what did you say?
I then inundated her with a bunch of messages explaining how good it was, really trying to show her that it's not something we simply peddle. It's actually something we truly believe in. So
it's not something we peddle. It's like a passion.
Let's just say that there were two gray text messages followed up by 8 blue text messages.
Read them all verbatim.
I said, it's the only one I drink. ... I've literally been drinking it since college. Clean, simple eats. The vanilla and the chocolate, it's called brownie batter chocolate, are musts. They have a lot of other flavors too if you're more adventurous. They also have travel packs if you want to try something out before buying a full bag. Then I sent her the links, not even affiliate links. I just was like, no, if you're even considering buying a protein powder, I've got it for you. I've got it squared away. I've got it locked in. Do not look anywhere else.
It is so, so good. This is what we're saying within the privacy of our text message threads and publicly on this podcast. Guys, go to cleansimpleeats.com, use code popapologist for 10% off your order. cleansimpleeats.com, code popapologist. This friendship was not meant to be forever because apparently their friendship soured when Natasha found that Amy was a little too close to TJ. Okay.
Oh gosh.
So
this man.
I know. So in March 2020, TJ celebrates his 10th wedding anniversary with Merrily, and this is what he posted on Facebook. This particular hashtag decade challenge is a little late. This is what TJ says. But 10 years ago, Merrily married me, and despite my best efforts, she remained married to me for the past 10 years. That's not hyperbole. That's not being dramatic. I gave her plenty of reasons, excuses, and opportunities to walk her fine ass out the door. It's a lot of O's. But instead, with her built-in black woman superpower, she showed a grace and patience that's incomprehensible. Asking her for another 10 years would be asking too much. Asking for another 10 months, that may even be a stretch. If she gave me another 10 weeks, I should consider myself lucky. If she put up with me for another 10 days, I'd be grateful. But if she would even spare me another 10 minutes of her time today, I should consider myself blessed. This is Merrily, y'all.
It's not even about her. It's like about her, but it's not about her at all. It's about him still.
And this is like the worst kind of public proclamation when it's like, I don't love you because of all these qualities about you. I love you because of how terrible I am and you put up with me.
Right. I mean, if I was Merrily's one of, you know, if I was one of her friends and I was reading that, I'd be like, you should probably leave. Like, it sounds like things aren't great over there. Like, hashtag decade challenge, like, check. Now, like, file some divorce papers.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just, this is like the anti-Brad Falchuk post, okay? Yes. Instead of like gorgeous prose, it's essentially all the reasons for filing that you have irreconcilable differences. So that's in March 1st, 2020. In September, okay, so about 5 months later, TJ joins Good Morning America 3, What You Need to Know, as Amy's co-anchor. Okay, that was 2020. In March 17th, 2022, so about a year and a half later, TJ and Amy post a giggle-filled TikTok to the Good Morning America 3 account about their training for the New York City Half Marathon. TJ has never run an official race, and Amy has been training with him for months. And according to a source in Page Six, their relationship began around that marathon in March.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows if that's really true, if they're really so friendly with each other in 2017. Obviously, like, the other point of this is, to this day, TJ and Amy have not owned up to the having an affair. And on their podcast, when it first dropped, they said that they were, both of their marriages were in divorce proceedings when their affair began. And it's very much giving Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, where it's like, mm-hmm. so obvious that they're having an affair, right. but they have right. never owned up to it.
Right. Well, and it's like probably because they want to like save face for their children, but those kids are not idiots.
I mean, it's not, I'm sure that's part of it, but I think it's also just about wanting to save face in front of America.
Also, I think too, if it had been that above board, maybe they wouldn't have gotten fired.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting question and conundrum. So we'll get to that in a second. So a couple months later in May, Page Six reported that TJ and Amy were canoodling in bars near ABC. And between May 30th and June 5th, 2022, TJ and Amy covered the Queen's Platinum Jubilee together for Good Morning America. A source told the Daily Mail that staff were buzzing about the intimacy between them on that trip. Amy called the trip one of the best assignments ever on Instagram, asking that she could never have asked for a better partner through it all, Chandler.
Wow. Okay? Wow.
So rumors are swirling about TJ and Amy, but according to a source, Marilee never considered Amy because she was focused on Natasha, the producer. She never thought about him cheating with Amy because they were all such good friends. Amy's daughter was their daughter's babysitter. How did Marilee find out about this affair, Chandler? Well, according to Page Six, it wasn't until the summer that Marilee grew suspicious about Amy because they started seeming closer. Her and TJ started seeming closer than colleagues. Multiple sources reported that TJ and Amy would have random meetings during the day and hit the pub to have drinks with each other. Still, TJ and his wife were fully together in August 2022 and even celebrated his birthday together with a trip to the Bahamas. It was there that Marilee discovered a birthday card from Amy that was way too personal, and it brought Whoa. Back all of the emotions and drama about Natasha. She just couldn't trust him anymore.
I wonder what a birthday card could say that would be too personal. Like, I wonder if it was talking about physical stuff or
I'm sure
what?
It said,
like,
I love you. I'm yeah. sure it said, I'm sure it just was romantic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess this was also really difficult for Marilee, and it's very much giving Raquel and Ariana, but Marilee confided in Amy about her difficulties with TJ and Natasha. Mm-hmm. Right. So again, it's someone you really trusted. It's a really close friend who's actually screwing your husband. So in August 2022, a few months later after the Platinum Jubilee, both TJ and Amy reportedly separated from their spouses and moved into new living arrangements. According to one People source, this is when TJ and Amy began dating. So this is the official story, is that is after that they begin dating. Okay. Basically what the source says is this is when they felt comfortable dating in the open, and this is when they would really be out hitting the town together mm-hmm. and didn't yeah. seem to yeah. care at all. So 1 month later, Amy and her husband list their 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment in the West Village for $5 million. And then on November 5th, 2022, Amy posts a picture to Instagram where she's very clearly not wearing her wedding ring. And then Amy and TJ the next day run the New York City Marathon together. Apparently, they finished at the exact same time, so ran the whole marathon together. The apartment is sold later that month in November. And at the end of the month, just days before their relationship is outed, TJ and Amy are seen holding hands in a car as they headed to a TJ's apartment after work. Okay, Chandler, so let's get to their relationship going public, okay? So this is Amy and TJ describing what happened on their podcast.
Okay.
And, you know, the experience of what they call being outed.
I guess, really November 30th is the day. November 30th, 2022 was the day that we were, and this is very important, we were outed.
We were outed.
We were outed.
We were not caught.
By a publication that outed us. And so to be clear, we were outed our as being in a relationship, but everyone else thought we were being outed as adulterers, being outed as cheating on our spouses. And it wasn't the case, because the odd thing is that the day those pictures were taken and the day that article was released that outed us, we had both at that point were in divorce proceedings.
Yes, we had attorneys, mediators. We were in the middle of divorces. I believe the first day the first picture was taken, unbeknownst to us, was November 10th. And my ex had already moved out of the house 3 months earlier. And you pointed out pretty interestingly, anyone who thinks we were still in our marriages when those pictures were taken, well, the pictures actually tell the truth, don't they?
They confirm. It is so, I don't know why we didn't put this together. The pictures that quote unquote outed us, the day I started being followed, the first day, the first pictures that were taken were me coming out of my apartment, my home in New York. That home is where I reside by myself. And I have been residing by myself since last summer.
I love that they think that, like, this is that just because they weren't caught during the thick of their, like, when before they had, you know, split up with their partners, like, they think we're just gonna buy that this relationship just started, right?
They're like, knock, knock, is anyone home? Like, clearly I was living in my apartment where I live by myself, which means that I, you know, had gone through the proper order of operations before embarking on this affair.
It's like, well, why do you have, what led you to needing your own apartment? Is it potentially that you were having an affair and your wife found out on your birthday trip in the Bahamas because of Amy's birthday card?
Yeah, exactly. What led you to divorce proceedings?
Right, exactly. Okay, so this is another clip where Amy talks about when she had found out that they had been outed, okay?
But November 30th was a rough day. You happened to be off work that day.
I was actually giving a speech in Washington, D.C., a breast cancer speech. It was a little bit of a later breast cancer awareness month speech, a little bit later in November, and I was at the podium. And I always have a phone up there just in case for whatever reason, but it was buzzing nonstop. And everyone who knew me knew I was giving a speech. So I just thought it was strange and it wouldn't stop buzzing. And it was it was TJ. It was also, I think, our executive producer. It was ABC PR. It was my daughters. It was a number of people. I had no idea that this article had been released and pictures had been released while I'm standing in front of about 500 people. And I believe by the time I finished the speech and was able to look at my phone, I think it's fair to say I was probably the last person to know what had just been released. And you also were in a very uncomfortable position when your phone started ringing.
Well, it rang in between segments because I was still in the studio taping the show. And in between segments, I got a call from a PR person asking and saying this article was about to be released.
So basically, all the photos are out. So I guess the Daily Mail published photos of Amy and TJ on a series of outings together, okay, where things definitely seemed romantic. So they were not being so stealthy about their relationship. They had photos of them at an NYC pub and Uber rides together, holding hands, coming and going from each other's apartments. So the Daily Mail was compiling this compendium of evidence against them. And it all got released on November 30th. And what's interesting about this, obviously, is these are two Good Morning America co-hosts. They go live every day. Like, it's not like they're immediately pulled off. And so it's very uncomfortable. That day, Amy and TJ both deactivated their Instagram accounts and went radio silence. And this is what a Good Morning America source told People in November 2022. There were rumors that they were having an affair over a year ago. A lot of people believe that there might be truth to it because there was so much affection there. But everyone ultimately chalked it up to friendship because they'd always said that they were so happily married. December 2nd, 2022, just a few days later, Amy and TJ host their last Good Morning America together. So this is the very kind of awkward, you know, exchange they have where they joke and allude to this crazy stressful week where they have been outed as having an affair.
Good afternoon. Welcome to GMA3, what you need to know on this Friday. You know, it's too bad it's Friday.
Is it?
It's been a great week. Just want this one to keep going and going and going. Just enjoy it.
Speak for yourself.
Take it all in.
I am very excited about the weekend, and I'm sure everyone else is too. We all love our Fridays around here.
So, any thoughts, Chandler? Preliminary thoughts?
No, I don't have any preliminary thoughts that I haven't already shared. It's funny, the bar that they were getting drinks at is like right by where I go to the chiropractor. Oh. So I've definitely seen it before.
Wow.
I mean,
our listeners are thrilled with that hot take.
That's not a hot take. It's just, you know, I unbeknownst to me, while I was getting my back cracked, infidelity was right around
the
corner.
You were close to the scene of the crime.
I was close to the scene of the crime. I mean, I'm just looking at these photos. These are people who are fully ensconced, and they kind of, I don't think they really even care.
Mm-hmm. No. And I think that is very interesting because a lot of people questioned, should they have been fired from Good Morning America for having an affair? This is their personal lives. You know what? They might be flagrant philanderers, but how does that impact their ability to concisely and articulately deliver the news live every day to us? Okay.
Right.
And I guess it doesn't, but I think that in reality, so much of like what makes these hosts watchable is them being likable. Like people really need to like the host. I mean, I don't know.
Have you
ever had a stint where you've tuned into the same like morning show every day?
No.
Okay.
Have you?
I have actually. It was.
I mean, I guess with like a podcast, not a
no. Well, a podcast would be similar, but I at one point tuned into KTLA-5 for a hot minute daily.
What the fuck?
But I was probably 14 at the time. I just got into a quick
habit.
Is
this before school?
Yes, it would have been before school. I just remember I developed like I really adored this. I really adore these.
You're like, look, I like these people. They get the news right. You know, there's no spin. There's no slant. I like the way they're able to tell us Southern California news, you know, the right way.
It's top tier infotainment. It's not a home production like Papapologist. Yeah. Okay. It is. Honestly, you start to really feel like you're friends with the anchors.
And so what you're saying really is you form a parasocial relationship with the host of KTLA-5.
Yeah,
honestly, it's a blessing. It didn't go any further than that.
I think it was pre-seminary. It might have been like fifth grade. I don't know. Anyway, it's definitely happened to me. So I understand everyone who feels betrayed, okay, by TJ and Amy and what they've done.
Right.
They felt like they really knew them. They felt like they really liked them. And now they feel like they don't know who they are anymore.
I think as well, like, I just don't want to see these two schmoozing it on camera. Yeah. Whatever. You're in love. You leave your families. Who cares, you know, who you had to like hurt on the way here and what's left in the wake. I just don't want to watch them on a daily basis talk about the Middle Eastern conflict.
Well, and I also think it's about that exact sentiment, right? Which is the primary demographic that watches these morning shows, it's moms. And moms across America don't want to hear two cheaters talking all the time. Like it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Right.
Okay, so the last time on air was December 3rd. ABC says that they're, you know, temporarily suspended on December 5th. On December 29th, TJ and his wife, Marilee, file for divorce. So that doesn't go correctly with the claim that they had been separated for so long and this all went according to plan. So in January 13th, 2023, TJ and Amy retained celebrity attorneys Eric George and Andrew Brettler. The couple was ready to file a lawsuit if they were fired from ABC, and they were planning, among other issues, to claim racial discrimination, arguing that ABC would not have fired them both if they were both white. It does not appear that they ever filed that lawsuit against ABC. On January 27th, 2023, so just a few weeks later, Amy and TJ are officially terminated from ABC. And this is what the quote from an AB spokesperson says in a statement. After several productive conversations with Amy Robach and TJ Holmes about different options, we all agreed it's best for everyone that they move on from ABC News. We recognize their talent and commitment over the years and and are thankful for their contributions. They both received settlement/severance packages. Amy had been with ABC for much longer, and so it's reported that her payout was a lot larger than TJ's.
I wonder how much it was.
Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, reports of their net worth are really, they really differ. Like, there's one report that Andrew Hsu has a net worth of $100 million. A lot of other reports that it's a net worth of $20 million. So I don't know. But the one thing I will say is that if you listen to their podcast, it does not seem like Amy Robach is just floating in an endless sea of cash and that she feels a total safety about her future.
I think I get that sense from both of them. Like, they're kind of now having to hustle to make new money.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I think we are like dying to kind of talk about all of that. So let me just lead us through what happened through the next year and get to the podcast. Cool. And it'll be brief. For the next year, Amy and TJ are photographed together. They train for another marathon. They vacation in Mexico. They go to football games together. That year, Amy and Andrew's divorce is finalized, as well as TJ and Mara Lee's. And then on November 1st, 2023, after a full year, and this is the year where they talk about on their podcast that they were drinking constantly, basically just ensconced. Chandler, they announce that they are launching a podcast. They have seen the success of Pop Apologists.
Right.
And they realize
they want what we have.
They want everything that we have worked for. And so they say that it's their time. And so they post the cover art for their podcast and say, how's this for Instagram official? Ooh. Hashtag silent no more microphone emoji. Amy and TJ coming December 5th. So the podcast Amy and TJ is released on December 5th, 2023, exactly 1 year after they're placed on leave by Good Morning America. Chandler, the podcast Amy and TJ is where they will explore meaningful conversations about current events, pop culture, and everything in between. Nothing is off limits. Their podcast—
You know, we could probably have the same bio for ours.
I mean— This is what every—
It's all the same.
It's all the same. It's unfiltered. It's nothing's off limits. Right. We're going to talk about it. What they're not talking about, we're talking about on our podcast. So their podcast has episodes of them, as we've discussed on this show, talking about their relationship with alcohol, as well as pop culture news and stories about things like the Miracle on the Hudson, Chandler.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
I know. So let's do some quotes from early on in the podcast, and then we'll discuss some more recent episodes. Okay.
It has been the most beautiful relationship I've ever had in my life.
So we say it's been a hell of a year. And look, it's odd to say it when people ask. It was even my mom was on the phone. I had her on speaker. Mm-hmm. This was several months ago. And she asked me how I was doing. And I said, I'm the healthiest and happiest I've ever been in my life. And she said, really?
Have you seen this magazine or this tablet? Really?
Possible. You're doing good. But we are. And look, there's not a— we're going to get into some stuff here, what happened over the past year. But the bottom line is, and a lot of people are curious, and I know some stuff is still being written, and I know we still get chased by photographers, so I know stuff is out there. But bottom line, we have not said this. I'm in love with this woman and she's in love with me. And we are planning a life together.
So they launched the podcast, Chandler. Mm-hmm. They're in love. They've been ensconced. And I think this is what happened. I think that it was all really, really fun and hot and sexy when they were GMA co-hosts, right?
Right.
And when they were having an affair, okay? They were stars. They were going on set. They had kind of it all. Right?
It was forbidden love.
It was forbidden love. The work, I think, of going to a studio and being an anchor on a broadcast show is very different than starting your own podcast.
Right.
And so I think that that was really exciting. Okay. They had glittering careers.
I think as well, it was probably a long time coming. Slow burn.
Yeah, you know. Slope. So it was so exciting when it finally happened.
So exciting when it's finally happening. Like just a huge...
Rush.
Just, yeah, it's got to like be huge. Exactly. Also, yeah, their job is ritzy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's high pressure. It's, yeah, high highs, low lows. It's just, it's exciting. Podcasting is not ritzy.
Correct. It's not ritzy or glitzy. Sitting on our, in our home studios, chatting about the content we've had to prepare, we've had to research, we've had to figure it all out, recording ourselves, editing it, and then putting it out for a very tiny audience, this is like laughable in comparison to the job of someone who's like being broadcast to millions of people every day, has a makeup artist, has people producing right. the content. You're just essentially a star.
And I just want to like belabor this point a little bit more, because they would just, all they would have to do is really whatever, do their journalism, whatever that means, and then show up, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I realize there's some legwork before they get on air, but whatever. And there was a captive audience like waiting for them mm-hmm. right there. Mm-hmm. With building a podcast, starting a podcast, you are starting from zero. I mean, yeah, people knew who they were, but they're having to build up a completely new audience.
And how many people are really going to convert from loving them on GMA to listening to their podcast every week?
Right.
To wanting to listen to a podcast all about them, who that really cares mm-hmm. so much about their relationship.
Right.
That's going to be a small fraction of GMA viewers, many of which who are completely turned off by them.
Exactly.
And what they did. And so I think it was so fun when it was happening. It was forbidden love. Then they have their year in hiding. You know, they have their settlements. They're just boozing up a storm, going on vacation together, feeling like they're still in their forbidden love. Mm-hmm. And I think that they start the podcast on December 5th. Hey, any new venture, it's exciting. They probably think this is going to be amazing.
Right.
You know, we're going to really kill it. We're going to have an empire almost kind of like Harry and Meghan adjacent, mm-hmm. probably mm-hmm. thinking like, you know, when they were first starting all of their projects, like this is going to go so well. But right. then you actually get into the nitty gritty every day. And I always talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, after the first 6 or 8 months of starting a podcast, I think that's when the real work begins, because the high of having your own business and starting this new thing, it's really abated. And right. you are left with being on a content treadmill, and you better really actually love doing it, because it's going to be a long time before you see any success after that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're also probably at that point grappling with, okay, this isn't taking off overnight. Mm-mm. This wasn't just like release a few episodes and now this is replacing my career, mm-hmm. the career I previously had. Mm-hmm. This is, oh, we got to like hustle to get this up off the ground to like match our previous lifestyle, which I'm sure was very comfortable.
Oh, I think very comfortable. Like imagine also there's such a feeling of like being on set, you know, having yes. buzzing staff around you, mm-hmm. being in this environment where you're fully made up. Now you're right. just working from home together every mm-hmm. day in and day out. Also, let's talk about TJ is a serial philanderer, a serial mm-hmm. cheater. He has been cheating on Marilee since 5 years into their marriage, okay? Since 2014. So I'm sorry, you think that TJ is just going to be happy all of a sudden being right, home right. or working from home with one woman? I don't think so.
I mean, let's get into the things in the episode. I think it's time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Okay. So as we said, we think that the wheels are really coming off the bus for them as they're settling into their new reality, their new everyday after the high has abated from the affair and from starting the podcast. So this is a recent podcast episode that they did where they basically were in a fight and TJ pulled out microphones. You know, Chandler, nothing's off the table for TJ and Amy. Right. So they decided to record themselves in the middle of this fight. I think what is recorded is so revealing and so important to listen to. So Chandler, let's play a little clip from this, okay?
Please.
Get on TikTok to really embrace this podcast and what we're trying to accomplish, which is to do what we love to do, which is to share and to not only share our story, but others' stories. And hopefully, I think we talked about what we wanted our podcast to be. I know for me, yes, entertainment is a huge part of it. I love to entertain, but I also want to inspire and I want to be transparent. And I've talked a lot about living my truth. And so this is part of it. So I am fine having these conversations because there isn't a couple out there who doesn't. And so, yes, I don't, and I know you don't want to put on some false narrative that somehow we're the perfect couple and we found our true love. And that means we never fight and we always get along and things are rosy and great. No, they're not. And even as much as we know each other, more than most people who have been in a relationship for over a year, we've known each other for a decade now, pretty much, and we know each other really, really well. It doesn't mean that we still don't, like, I'm learning things about you every day as we've always worked together, but working with this kind of pressure over our heads is a whole other thing where, yeah, sorry. I'm just saying that pressure is a lot.
Are you talking about the work pressure or the pressure now publicly for us to succeed as a couple?
Oh, see, I don't feel the pressure from the public to stay with you. I know you well enough and I've spent enough time with you and I knew how I felt. And love sometimes is a choice when it's hard. It's not just a feeling. Lust is a feeling, but love is a choice, I believe. And I have chosen to love you. So I don't feel pressure from the public to be with you. I would be devastated just personally because I want to be with you and I chose you. But I feel the pressure of our careers that I believe were unfairly taken from us. And I really want to be able to do what I love. And I want to be able to do it with you. So that's more the pressure I feel. And funny enough, you talk about the comments. So this is the first time I've really read the comments as well. And the TikTok thing has been amazing. Like, I would say 95% of them are positive. But the negative ones sting and they hurt. And I've been angry at the cancel culture mentality that people think they know the story and then they just throw barbs at you and they call you names. And I'm not trying to say poor me, wah, wah, wah. There are so many people who have gone through this, not just publicly, but just personally. If you do something that people don't like or they think is wrong or they think they know what happens, you know, no one knows what happens in someone else's marriage. No one knows what happens in your private life except for you. And so just to see the unbelievable judgment is kind of overwhelming still more than a year later. And I sometimes get discouraged at people's unwillingness to either suspend judgment or to just feel better about themselves by making you into the villain for whatever reason they need to do it. So Ava and Annalise actually got on to TikTok yesterday and started deleting all the bad comments because they didn't want me to see them.
So Chan, clearly things are not as rosy as they used to be as they have settled into this new everyday reality where they are just working on this podcast together. And that is their new life, okay?
Yeah, I think the dust has settled and now it's time to, okay, now you're partners and now you're actually going to do this. Now you have to do this. You have to like make a life work together. And yeah, I think that's where the less sexy like stuff starts to kind of erode at a new relationship.
Yeah, and I think that what's really emerging from this is that I don't think that TJ is the kind of everyday partner that makes Amy feel super secure in her relationship. And I don't think that this everyday reality for them is going well.
No, I completely agree. And I think having now, I listened to this episode twice yesterday because I listened to it by myself. Then I wanted to listen to it with Ben and I wanted to talk to him about it. And I just think that I learned a lot about the way that TJ addresses her concerns or doesn't really address her concerns. Some of them, you know, are rooted in her insecurities about their relationship. And now, I guess, to get to the point, having learned all this context about what a serial cheater he is, of course she has all these insecurities and is nervous about their relationship. And she probably needs constant reassurance that he's not about to like walk out the door and go cheat on her.
Well, but the thing I will say is I think that yes, I'm sure there's a lot of insecurity on her end because he's a serial cheater and she's had a front row seat to that.
Yeah. I guess let me just like I didn't want to make that sound like I'm not blaming her. I'm empathizing with her. Okay, yeah. Okay.
No, totally. I don't think you are either. I also think his treatment of her It's not like she's just responding to normal treatment in a very sensitive way because she's seen that he's not trustworthy. I actually think that, and I'm sure you feel similarly having listened to the episode, his treatment of her is absolutely not normal. And he seems to really kind of gaslight her and tell her that the fact that she isn't comfortable with it or she's not happy with it, it's like a her problem, even though he's very clearly mistreating her. So I'm just going to play a little clip from them addressing this. Basically, what she's kind of addressing is he will go into focus mode where he will essentially ice her out and not speak to her and be very, I don't know about not speak to her, but only speak to her in a very robotic way, be very cold for days on end. So listen to this.
If you remember, I was asking you, like, what could we do? What could I do to help? How can we like do this together? Or I take one thing, you do another, we talk. And you were just like, I got it on my own. And I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing. What I'm saying is sometimes it's really just almost your demeanor. It's not, it's like a smile. Oh my God, if there was just a smile, that's all I'd need. It just felt robotic, I guess, over the last several days. And like, I'm telling you, if you smile at me, if you reached over and grabbed my knee or just like something that was just a quick reminder that we're in this together and hey, babe, we got each other and just the smallest of emotion or a facial expression would just be like a nice nod to what we are, who we are, and that we're in it together. I think it's just, yeah.
But it's not reasonable for us to, I mean, you might, in theory, yes, but in practice, impossible to separate working with somebody as a colleague and a business partner and the relationship you're in with your business partner. It is impossible, would you say, to work with me and the emotion not be there for any period of time. Because no matter what, we are partners first, business partners second.
Correct.
So can we ever sit up and work as business partners and there not be a look, not be a nod, not be a gesture, not be a, and just work? Because it seems like that feels to you like something is wrong.
Yeah, when it goes on for many, many, many hours, yes, it feels unnatural and it honestly, it feels scary.
You always use that, scary. I didn't think that's still on the table.
Okay, we have so many things to say. It's actually is weird to it's not totally be able weird. To have a nice gesture or a smile for hours and hours and hours. I get going into focus mode for 30 minutes, an hour, but not being able to smile for hours and hours and hours, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, so I had Ben listen to this because I was like, I just wanted another perspective on it. I also wanted to articulate some of my thoughts ahead of us recording. And we just were talking after this exact part. And I said, if you went cold on me for an hour, I think I would say, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. And if you did not communicate to me, hey, I'm in a bad mood, I just need some space. If you didn't communicate that to me, and then that went on for longer than an hour, 6 hours, 12 hours, days on end, I would be like, shit's hitting the fan. He hates me. Or I could internalize it as it's a me problem. Or I'm like, he is like, something has gone terribly awry. So the idea that he can't understand why for days on end, when he doesn't like treat her warmly, like why she's scared. He can't process that. And then when he says scared, you always say that, you know, I'm done, you know, being in a place where we're not sure if we're going to work out or whatever he says, bitch. And I'm addressing that to TJ. You have cheated on every other woman you've been with for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. Of course she's scared. This would create a sort of anxious attachment, like unlike anything else.
Well, and I think that of course she's scared. Not only does she have every reason to be distrustful of this person, but also I will say he gaslights her and he's like, well, can we ever just work together? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Do we have to be just like always chummy and flirting with each other for, mm-hmm, can we just, mm-hmm, like work together like adults?
Right.
I'm sorry. Right. When I'm working with someone, I'm being polite to them. I'm smiling. You don't even go into super focus mode at work around colleagues. No, like colleagues, no, are convivial with each other.
Right.
That's
right.
You say please, you say thank you, you smile.
Right.
That's, you're called a nice, being a professional.
And another thing they get into it, you know, they talk about how he's moody. It sounds like he's just a total nightmare to be around,
yes,
frankly.
Yes.
And that she's just really learning how to put up with his mm-hmm moods. And I'm sure while they were in this year-long sabbatical, you know, whatever, ensconced period, he maybe wasn't as moody. I think
she didn't
that,
have to deal with it every day. You know, she got right, the best of him most of the time.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to talk about, and if people go and listen to this, is he doesn't really actively listen to her. He mm-hmm listens to her. He'll listen to what she said. And then he's looking for how he can throw her own words back at her and poke holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, yeah, listening to, like, she's trying to articulate the way she's feeling in the perfect way to make it clear for him. And he doesn't even really care about the articulation. He doesn't even care about the feelings that are underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just trying to figure out a way to be right and to confuse, almost like, I was wondering why I had to keep hitting replay on things. I'm like, this is getting so confusing. And it's actually not that confusing at all of an issue.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that it speaks to, clearly he has created an environment where she feels very uncomfortable. Again, mm-hmm, it's completely unnatural to ice your partner out for days on end, even 5 hours. That's not normal, right? I think that it makes me think about my relationship, like you said with Ben. You know, if Ben didn't explain to you why he was in a bad mood or kind of cold, it would lead you to be very concerned. I feel like sometimes Kagan will get into focus mode, as TJ calls it, right, with work. And I know that when yeah I'm – and I kind of have the same thing sometimes. When he comes up behind me and like snuggles me, or I do the same to him and we're both trying to work in these different scenarios – it can kind of be irritating and annoying. Like, hey, like I'm trying to focus right now, whatever. I totally get that. But I feel like if Kagan goes into focus mode, I just know he's in a bad mood about work. I'm like 0% concerned, right, about our future as a couple.
Right.
Right.
And which I think speaks.
Yeah. It speaks to the insecurity that he has. Right. He's like basically, right, cultivated within her by, yeah, like not validating, yeah, her, you know, and by being fundamentally not a trustworthy person.
I mean, and I think too, early on in my relationship, I definitely had some like serious anxious attachment where I was like, well, if Ben, you know, doesn't want to see me 7 nights a week, he's probably getting over me or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, this,
yeah,
is just like X scenario. And I do think that that was coming from more of my place of like, we were new in our relationship. I didn't totally know that it was going to be like a forever thing. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he hasn't really instilled in her a lot of faith, or at least like maybe he says all the right things, but somehow she's, yeah, led it's to believe like otherwise.
He pays lip service to it. So yes, that's another way of gaslighting her, but his actions don't actually,
right,
instill,
right,
that security in her that he's paying,
exactly,
lip service to. And so I think that would be doubly confusing and frustrating. And I can understand how she emotionally just starts to shut down. Yeah.
The other thing too, mm-hmm, Ben said this, like he really grills her. Mm-hmm. This is not like a, I'm so sorry you're feeling this way. Like, let's figure this out. He is like cross-examining her about everything that she's saying. And it honestly just gave, I mean, I texted you yesterday. I was just like, he seems like the worst.
Well, and I think she also seems afraid of him.
Yes, totally. Like, that's why I feel like she has to perfectly articulate what she's,
yeah,
saying.
She's like,
instead,
so,
of just saying, mm-hmm, hey, my feelings were hurt. I felt like, you know, you were just cold to me and it hurt my feelings and it made me feel insecure.
No,
but
she's,
instead it's like,
she's, yeah, fully afraid. I think he's one of these guys that's extremely charismatic, that really, right, can hook a girl, really kind of like spin himself as larger than life, bigger than he is. Mm-hmm. And so I think in her mind, he's really the cat's meow. He's really,
right,
everything. You know, no one will be, mm-hmm, as interesting or charismatic or fun or incredible,
right,
as TJ. And I think that she's so afraid to lose him. And I think that that's why she emotionally starts to shut down. And that's why she, mm-hmm, like, he gets mad at her in the episode for not, right, being just out with her feelings. But it's like, well, clearly she's literally afraid,
I mean,
to talk to you.
She mentions too, I completely agree with everything you said, totally on the same page. She has this part where she says, you know, I didn't tell you about this because I didn't want to start crying on the phone with you.
Right. She's literally afraid of showing emotion with him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I like that makes me feel like, oh, this is a guy who when you emote mm-hmm. too much, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And you get in trouble. Way, mm-hmm. You get in trouble. And he got that way by the end of the podcast. And he was like, we always end these fights with I'll do better. This is where we always end up.
Well, and then so if you listen to the next episode, which is like a postmortem, he said that he listened back and he only got more angry with her. Yes. Well, he's like a total nightmare.
He's a nightmare. But he also then asks her to take responsibility for her actions in this. And it's like, no, sometimes there's actually not, it's not both parties are at fault. It's like, hey, you just hurt my feelings.
No. Nope.
And my feelings were hurt. It's not like I guess I didn't communicate to you that my feelings were hurt soon enough. So that's the part I played.
It's like Sutton says, your part is the whole part. He was icing her out for days. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. And he has the audacity to get mad at her for emotionally responding about it mm-hmm. and responding to that situation. This is what someone commented on Instagram. And I think that it really sums up what we're trying to express. So this person writes, Amy, do yourself a favor. Pick a therapist that TJ hasn't seen. Ask them to listen to today's episode and take their advice when they tell you he's being emotionally abusive and controlling and leave. I've been rooting for the two of you since the news broke. I'm out. What he did to you today was sick. Did you hear yourself? You wanted to calm down and be less emotional when you talked to him. What did he do? He refused to allow you that and then proceeded to force you to do a podcast episode right then and there where he bullied and humiliated you. We understand you've lost a lot and you're scared. We understand that you're terrified of this relationship not working out. But what he did to you today was utterly inexcusable and he will never stop this behavior. He knows you don't think you can leave him. That's why he doesn't worry about the relationship. He mm-hmm. knows he's controlling you. For your mental health, get out now. Unsubscribing so as not to contribute to the blackmail he's holding over you. You will work again. No boss who listens to today's episode will ever hire him. You don't need him or this podcast. Be strong and stay safe. Someone responds, you are so spot on. I have not been able to articulate all my anger. And listening to this today, I felt so incredibly sorry for her. What a completely dismissive, angry man he is. I was so embarrassed for her. I don't get it.
Everything that person said, like plus 100, they're spot on. And I think that he does this really annoying thing where he's like fake self-aware, mm-hmm. where he is such a smooth talker. And yeah, like he acts like he really knows himself. And he's like, I know that I can get moody.
Yeah.
So he like gives you a concession, mm-hmm. but then he doesn't actually change his behavior or mm-hmm. like actually work on it or acknowledge the feelings that creates in another person. And that's really like where the manipulation I think happens, because you think he's this actually good guy, but really he's just super dismissive mm-hmm. and unfeeling. I think he thinks he's really self-aware and smart and emotionally smart, which is why he probably feels comfortable recording this fight. You know?
Yeah, he's clearly buying his own bullshit. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are like very clear narcissist, very clear person who is only interested in, like someone says that this was the day I guess her daughter was leaving to go abroad and she was very emotional about it.
Yeah.
And this person wrote, let's not forget he pulled a typical narcissist move and he did this all in a day when she was absolutely beside herself with her daughter leaving to go abroad to college. Narcissists always, always love to ruin big days and make them hell because they aren't the center of attention.
Right, right.
I have a theory. This is just my theory.
Hit me with it.
I don't know if it's true. I think he has already started an affair with someone else. And I think that that's why he's emotionally withdrawing from her. I mean, obviously, this is literally just me pulling something from the sky. I don't see this guy being faithful for very long to anyone.
No, no.
Especially when you're like, now we day in and day out work together. Like the lavender haze has completely faded away. And yeah, I think that that is why he is icing her out. Yeah, the wheels are falling off the bus for TJ and Amy.
I mean, Lauren, I was actually concerned that we weren't going to be able to fill airtime. I could give another like 45 minute diatribe on this man. Everyone go listen. Feel grateful for your relationships with good people.
Also, I will say a little bit of a happy ending. So Amy and TJ's exes, they're now dating each other.
Yes,
so Marilee and Andrew, they are ensconced. A source is quoted as saying that they bonded over the traumatic experience of being cheated on by their spouses. Okay, mm-hmm. So this was not just, these marriages did not just, you know, dissolve and then they got together. No, they bonded over the trauma of being cheated on by TJ and Amy. And the source says it turned into something else and they're connected over their values. It's bigger than the affair now. They're not heartbroken and sad. They have moved on, which I think is great.
Amy and TJ would like us to believe that they like bounced into each other on the sidewalk, like, and we're like, oh wait, you're divorced. I'm divorced now.
Right.
How great.
Oh my gosh. We both work at the same place. We have so much in common.
Right. Right.
Anyway, yeah, they were spotted at JFK. So congrats to Andrew and Mara Lee.
Yeah.
I think that Amy falls into the category of good people do bad things. I don't think that this is a pattern for Amy. I do think that TJ is just one of these very charismatic narcissist guys.
Yeah. Yep.
Hate throwing around that term. Obviously, I don't know if he's fully a narcissist, but I think that he has obviously this crazy pattern and he really reeled Amy in, and Amy has, you know, kind of really screwed up a good thing in terms of her family now being broken apart and losing her job. So I hope that Amy is able to see TJ for who he is and find someone and, you know, be at a place with a relationship that brings her peace. Because not every relationship needs to leave you terrified on a Tuesday, which is clearly her reality right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chandler, thank you so much for joining us for the deep dive of TJ Holmes and Amy Robach. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll be back on Friday on Patreon and catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.